This is Harry Murray at Murray's Fly Shop in Edinburgh, Virginia. This is our mid-month sort of question-answer period where I take the questions that you've sent in to me on email or those things that you've called and asked me to elaborate more on. I've had a number of calls and questions about the leader. So walking by the rack, headed right for this mic, I pulled some of our most popular leaders off the rack. The one that we're selling a whole lot of right now, because that time is coming on us, is the one that we refer to it as the Murray's Trout Nymphing Leader. Now, what this is, it's a compound tapered knotted leader using my basic formula that's in all my books and everything else. This particular one is 9 feet long, 5X taper, and I put two SA indicators on there. I do not like the big bulky indicators. I want some that I could use on top or I could use underwater. So on the trout nymphing knotted leader that we make, we put two of those SA indicators on there to help detect the strike. And they are so smooth and streamlined that they don't interfere with the casting at all. Now, the next one in the pile is my Murray's Classic Fly Leader 9-foot compound tapered, hand-tied. Now, of course, it's down to 5X. That's what we'll be using most of the time on our trout streams in the spring. We do that in 9-footers as well as 7.5. Just a matter of personal preference, which one you want to use. You can rework them, you can retaper them, you can add tip bed on there. If you know how to rework your leader, one leader can last you months. All right, I'm going through my pile now. The next one is Murray's Bright Butt Leader. Now, this is really the meat and potatoes on our smallmouth fishing. We use the fluorescent mono in the butt of these things. The first two sections of the butt are fluorescent mono, and then we taper that down with a regular tippet material, and we put a SA indicator on there. Not only as a strike detector, but to let you see if you're getting adequate depth on your nymphs and that type of stuff. If you've been in my class, I've been standing right in your elbow telling you how to use that indicator and how to watch it to see if you're getting adequate depth. Next one in the pile, Murray's Big Game Leader. Okay, these are super-duper stiff leaders. I use these down at the Outer Banks, the one I've got here. Now, they're compound knotted tapered with stiff mono. This one I have in my hands, 15-pound test. I use that a lot down at the Outer Banks. Murray's Bass Knotted Tapered Leader. All right, these are for the guys that are using big popping bugs, something old size 2 or maybe even bigger. Guys down in Louisiana and Florida that are using big bugs, these are real, real stiff butt section, short midsection, turnover like gangbusters. So I'm really making these special bass leaders for the guys throwing the big flies. I don't use those. On my fishing, I use the Bright Butt, 9-foot 2X. Next one in the pile, Murray's Fluorocarbon Leader. 6 feet long, 2X tippet. What I'm doing there, these are made out of fluorocarbon, and they, of course, fluorocarbon sinks slightly, and we use these on our shooting heads and our sink tip lines. So that gets me through the leaders. If you have any questions on any of this, just call me. I'll be glad to go over it with you. Okay, we covered my leaders. Next thing says, carry maps to remote trout stream. You better believe it. Whether you're in the back on the West Virginia line, or whether you're down in the Smokies, or whether you're up in the Adirondacks, have a good map for the area you're planning to fish, and have it in your vest when you go in, right here in the Shenandoah Valley. Good friend of mine took three of his friends in to fish a remote mountain stream that he'd been in many times before. He didn't take the map with him. He got off the main trail onto a second trail. He walked for 3 hours, never found the stream. He got back from town. He said, that was very embarrassing. I said, well, why didn't you stick the map in your pocket? We said, I thought I knew where I was going. So just for safety's sake, have a good map in your pocket. I have run across people right here in the Shenandoah National Park where you can ought to be able to see where you're going. I've run across a number of people that were lost. Three kids, high school age kids out of a private school up in D.C., when they came running down the mountain and found me, you couldn't believe the peace they had in their eyes, because I don't know how long they'd been wandering around the mountain. They didn't speak much English, and I didn't speak any German. So I saw the map they had. I could have drawn a better map on the palm of my hand. So I finally got them turned around and aimed back up the mountain and to where I thought they could meet some people and go from there. But I've met a lot of people. One real nice young couple out of D.C. came out, and they were just simply hiking through the Shenandoah National Park. And when I saw them, they were about, they were about 4 hours down the mountain from where they had started. And they said, yes, and look at our map and see if we're right, and this is a trail we want to take to go back up to the Skyline Drive. And it was getting pretty close to dark now. I said, well, there's no way you're going to take that map, that trail you've got on there, and get back up to the Skyline Drive until it is really black dark. And they said, well, what's our option? I said, to go right back up the way you came down. Well, we want to see different country. I said, well, I don't recommend following your map, because I'm afraid you're going to get lost. And at the very best, it's going to be black dark when you get up in there. So I carry maps with me. When I ever new trail I'm on, I carry the map with me. Okay, now, this one, it's up to you as to whether you want to do what I do. I fish a lot of remote places in these mountain streams by myself. I don't say that's a thing to do, but I do. I had a couple bad falls several years ago, and I did get out by myself. But I think it kind of panicked my kids. And for Christmas that year, I'm reading off the box, it's a GPS personal locator beacon. Well, theoretically, if I fall over there, well, say break a leg, a couple miles back in, a couple hours back in, break a leg and you don't think you can get out, you'd pop the antenna up in the air, push these two buttons simultaneously, and that's supposed to be sending out a signal to somebody. That's supposed to send somebody to find me. But that's entirely, don't ever try to rely on cell phones. I can tell you the hard way there that you can't get out with a cell phone in most of these remote streams. But this personal locator, I carry it. It is heavy, but I still put it in a pouch in the front of my vest. So I carry that with me all the time. All right, talk about some cat. Okay, and a lot of my cat talks here in the fly shop through the week, I've been referring to this flip cast that I do. And when I teach it out here on the lawn, I show people how to do it if they're going to be fishing the small mountain streams. Do not confuse what I call a flip cast with a bow and arrow cast. It sets up somewhat similar, but the technique is entirely different. Let's say you're on a mountain stream and you see a trout rising 15 feet up from where you are. It's a high gradient stream. You've snuck in below the riffle. There he is, keeps coming up, coming up, coming up. Well, the first thing, if you get out there and try to false cast over him, you're probably going to put him down. My flip cast, and I'm doing this as I'm sitting right here at my desk, I'll pull enough line and leader off of my spool that will enable me to reach that trout. I hold the fly in the fingers of my left hand, very gently. I put the rod up in the air behind me and come forward with a casting motion. Just one now. I'm only going to get one shot at this guy. Let's say if I don't get him this time, I'm going to spook him. I'm coming forward. That line is turning over in the air. Just as it's going forward, I open those fingers and that line rolls out, carries the leader out, and you can really get pinpoint accuracy. It's a flip cast. And many of you have been up here when I'm teaching this on the lawn. It's very, very easy. A beginner can get teacup accuracy out of this. but it sounds crude, but it's very simple. Now, here's one that it's entirely up to you whether you want to do it. These are two slackline cast IUs. Often, we'll say we're over here in the middle of April, there are flies all over the water, there are fish rising like gangbusters, but you keep getting refusal, refusal, refusal. In many cases, you should know what fly is on. If you don't know what fly is on, look at my book or call me. But let's assume you've got the fly that matches what's out there on the water. So that problem is eliminated. What is probably giving you refusal is the fact that you're getting drag. All right, one of my favorite casts to eliminate drag of the leader on the fly on the surface of the stream is Vince Marinaro's puddle cast. Puddle cast, I'm coming forward on the presentation cast. I've got enough line. I've got maybe 5, 6, 8 feet more line extended than I really need to reach the trout. Remember now, he's out there coming up. I'm shooting at him. I'm coming forward. Now, I stop my forward presentation cast with that rod about 45 degrees in the air. That lets the line and leader turn over and fall in just what Vince said, that falls in a puddle. However, the more you use this, the more you're going to be impressed with it. You can actually, in cases, get a good 4, 5, 6 foot dead drift with the puddle cast that really will give you a whole lot more fish, because the current is going to wash those curves out of the leader especially, and then the fly will drift naturally. The other cast I use some is what we call the Lazy S cast. The Lazy S cast, all right, the same. There's another trout out there rising in front of me, 20 feet out in front of me. I do not want a false cast over that guy. I'm afraid the line leader's going to put him down. So when I come forward on this cast, I do want to use a slack line cast. As I'm coming forward, the leader is starting to turn over. I wiggle the rod tip back from right to left maybe 3 times. What that is doing is throwing some S curves into the leader and into the line. Depends on when you start and stop your wiggling. But the Lazy S cast, I'm turning it over, I wiggle that rod tip, and when it's turning over and going out now, this is when it's sailing out over the water, wiggle that rod from right to left, it'll land out there in curves, and you'll get a drag-free drift. Okay, now, most of you know this, but here it is. I see so many people using a totally inaccurate tippet for the size fly they're using. My formula on this is, if you know your size fly, you should know that. Fly size divided by 3 equals your tippet in X's. Do that again. The size of my fly divided by 3 equals the tippet in X's, and you just got to learn X's. Now you can cheat a little bit one size or the other on that without really getting in trouble. You know, tonight, we're getting some warm weather right now. Maybe I'll go out here and try the river tonight. If I'm throwing a size 6 Murray's Heavy Helgramite divided by 3, that tells me I should be using a 2X leader. Fly size divided by 3 equals tippet in X's. Oh, this is one. My pendulum cast. And that is just what it says. Last summer, I hit the mountain streams, and I didn't realize we'd had that much rain. The stream was rolling. The only place I could find rising fish were in little protected corners. These are sort of in the upper end of the pool, kind of snuggled down amongst a bunch of boulders that protects the fish from the flow of the current. You can see this in my park book. All right. The pendulum cast, I've got a window out there that is smaller than a dinner plate, because if my leader falls outside that dinner plate area, that fast current is going to get my fly and jerk it out of there like crazy. So I am going to have to deliver my dry fly, we'll say a Mr. Rapidan 16 parachute. My Pendulum cast is just what it says. I'm holding them. I'm now, of course, with high water, you can get close to them. You can get within 10 feet of them easily. All right, I'm holding my fly in my left hand. I've got my rod. I'm using a Murray Mountain Trout rod, 6'10", so forth and so forth. I swing that rod tip out. The leader and just kind of swings out under that. When that fly gets right over that feeding station I'm talking about, I just drop the rod tip right back. That fly falls right on that target, and boom, I got my trout. Pendulum cast. Stick it up in the air. Now, don't flip. Don't go wild. Just stick it up in the air and let gravity swing it out. And when it gets over that feeding station, just drop it down. He's going to take it in the first second, I can guarantee you. Okay. Oh, and now this is one. Most of our streams don't get this high, but there's some places out in the Montana I use this. A roll cast strike. You're on, there's some streams just east of Livingston, Montana, that come shooting down off the Absarokee. You've got your fly on the water. It's drifted back. The fish are taking dry flies. You've got it on the water. They're taking dry flies, but it's rolling back at you like gangbusters. And you're getting strikes. Well, if you try to strike back or even use a line hand strike, you're too slow. You're not setting the hook quickly enough. What you can do, that fly is coming down the stream very, very fast. You're getting a rise from a feeding trout. It's very fast. Just slam that thing back upstream, just like a roll cast pickup, and zap, you just stuck him in the jaw. So it sounds a little crude, but the roll cast strike can give you a fish that sometimes you don't get with anything else. Well, that's got me down to the end of my list today. If you have any questions about this or anything else, just send me an email or call me. I'll be glad to go over all this with you. Oh, incidentally, we have added, I think, 5 new trout schools to our mountain trout schools this year. I know some of you have called and wanted to get in them, and we were pretty well filled up. But we have just added 5 new schools to our mountain trout schools. So if you're interested in those, give us a call. Rhonda's putting them on the website right now. This is Harry Murray at Murray's Fly Shop in Edinburg, Virginia, and you can reach me on the phone at 540-984-4212. Thank you so much.